Leviticus chapter 26. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1. You shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear up a standing image of stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Let's read verse 2 right away. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. The first part of the Ten Commandments concern man's relationship with God. The second part concerns man's relationship with man. But the three commands given here in the first two verses, make no idols, reverence the sanctuary, keep the Sabbath, sum up those commands as far as man's relationship with God is concerned. And they are also something that must be kept, must be honored, if Israel is going to remain in the promised land when God gives it to them. Verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her their fruit, and your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beast out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. So the nation Israel would live in peace and prosper if they keep the commandments of God. Now, they didn't. And we're going to see that later on. So they suffered. And you know what? They're still disobeying. And that's why there's no secure peace at all for the nation Israel. They're living under the constant threat of their enemies. Every once in a while, they have missiles flying into their country. God wants to bless us, but he can't if we don't obey him. It's always been the case with his people. 7. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. God promised tremendous victories over their enemies if they would obey him. And this actually came to pass. Whenever Israel repented and returned to God, God gave them victory over their enemies. You can read about that in the book of Judges. Over and over again, you can read about that. Verse 9. For I will have respect to you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store, in other words, old supply, and bring forth the old because of the new. Lots of people. A very prosperous population, and a very large population, is a sign of God's blessing back in Old Testament days. And by the way, unlike some people today, God doesn't think that a population explosion is a bad thing. It's a sign of God's blessing, at least in Old Testament times. And even today, a population explosion is not a problem. Disobeying God is always the problem. Because if a nation obeys God, he's going to bless their food supply, and they'll be able to feed however many children God gives them. 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And of course, this is if they obey him. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. And a sign of God's blessing is that he is among them. That's not only a sign of God's blessing, that is the source of God's blessing. Verse 13, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. If Israel has any question whether or not God will indeed bless them for obedience, all they have to do is remember history. Because he had a track record of blessing them, starting with their deliverance from Egypt. So this reminder of God's past goodness to them when they were right with him should serve as a driving force for holiness in the future. It's worth it. God will make it worth your while. Verse 14. But if you will not hearken to me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgment so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant. Yeah, if you do these things, then God says, what? I also will do this to you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, in other words, fever, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursue you. Paranoia. God says, if you turn away from me, the first degree of punishment you'll face is agony and stress. Agony and stress from illness, from famine, and from defeat, being defeated by your enemies. God says, if you disobey, you're going to suffer physically, you're going to suffer mentally. And that's still a problem today. Depression is a spiritual problem most of the time. I'm convinced that many believers who have mental problems, so-called, which is a misnomer, the mind is not an organ, it cannot be diseased, but problem with their thinking, unless it's caused by brain damage, the problem is that they're not sold out for Jesus. They're holding back on him, and that's not normal, and that's going to cause problems in your thinking, in your behavior, and it's just going to spiral out of control. It's going to get worse and worse. And that would be the case with Israel. Paranoia. Why? Because you've disobeyed God. You haven't walked with the Lord. 18. And if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. God says, if the first degree of punishment doesn't bring you to your senses, I'm going to press you even harder. I'll send drought. I'll send crop failure. And this was especially severe in an agrarian society like Israel was. In other words, the second degree of punishment involved God hitting them in the wallet. 21. And if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. If you still don't repent, God says, I'm going to send the third level of punishment. Dangerous animals, wild animals, are going to cause desolation and destroy livestock and attack people. It's going to be a terrible situation. Animals terrorizing God's people because God has let go of the leash because they wouldn't repent, even after he has already sent punishment their way. Still didn't come to their senses. And so in verse 23, and if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary to me, then will I also walk contrary to you. You're going to walk contrary to me, I'm going to walk contrary to you. You're not going to treat me like God, I'm not going to treat you like my people. And I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. It's going to get worse. I will bring a sword upon you and shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together inside your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. So the fourth degree of punishment is disease, and also enemy oppression. Disease would strike them from the inside, and the enemy would strike them from the outside. Same thing happens today. Our enemies may be different from Israel's, but if we today tolerate sin in our life, we refuse to repent, we open ourselves up to the oppression of our enemy, who is the devil. And believe me, you give him a foot in the door, and he will bust through and make your life miserable. Our enemies may be different, as I said, but the principles of God's punishment for moral failure remain the same, and you're going to suffer, just like Israel suffered, if you tolerate sin. That has not changed. 27, and if you will not for all this hearken to me, but walk contrary to me, if you still haven't learned your lesson, then I will walk contrary to you also in fury. I'm going to get more and more angry at you. You're not responding to me. And I will chasten you 7 times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. You say, that's impossible. No parent would ever do that. They did it. Because it got so bad. The famine got so bad. The oppression of their enemies got so bad. They were starving to death, and they ate their own children. It happened. Probably many Israelites, when they heard the word of God, they said, no, I'm never going to do it. I would never do that. That would never happen in our country. But it did. Because God knows better than you do. 30. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I'll destroy both your false gods that you worship in place of me and you. Verse 31, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. You can try to worship me, but it's not going to happen. I'm not going to accept it, not if you don't obey me. You get yourself in a lot of trouble because of my judgments due to your sin, and you try to cry out to me for help. Forget it. It's not going to happen. The heavens are going to be as bronze, and your prayers will bounce right back down to earth. They won't get through to me. And I think that's one of the worst things about being out of fellowship with God. You know what it is? Being out of fellowship with God. Verse 32. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. God says, if you still do not repent after all this, then I'm going to send the sixth degree of punishment, dispersion. Here God says, your land will be so desolate that even the occupying forces will be afraid to be there. It's true. Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah 19, read about it. God said he'd draw the sword and chase them from their land. 34. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. And God is speaking prophetic history here, because this is exactly what the Israelites will be guilty of doing. The Israelites did not give the land its Sabbath rest. Remember, we learned this a couple of chapters ago. Every seventh year, the land was to rest. They were not to plant any crops, and God would take care of them. Well, they didn't give the land its Sabbath rest for 490 years. You talk about not repenting. 490 years of disobedience, which means that the land missed 70 Sabbath years. Guess how long they were in captivity? 70 years. 70 years of Sabbath they missed. You know, the people must have thought, well, God really didn't mean what he commanded. I guess he didn't really care because he's letting us get away with this. They didn't get away with anything. Don't ever mistake God's patience with sinners. Don't ever mistake that for indifference to sin, because he's not indifferent. The fact that God will punish is precisely why he's sometimes long-suffering with sinners, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Israel never did repent. So God sent Israel into the Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and as a result, he made sure that the land got paid back for those 70 missed Sabbath years. You see, you're just not going to thwart God's plan and purposes. We have a choice. We can voluntarily submit to him. If we don't, we will be forced to submit to him, and that will be very unpleasant. 36. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness, a weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. And they shall fall when none pursues. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were upon a sword, when none pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies, and you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. And this is an amazing prophetic picture of what has happened since Israel was exiled into Babylon. This is so precise. They have been scattered and persecuted throughout the world ever since they were taken into captivity. Oh, they return partially, but they've been oppressed. It never returned to what it was in the glory days of Israel under Solomon and partially under David, because they disobeyed. This is exactly what happened. God foretold it. You think they repented in order to avoid it? No. Just like many people don't repent in order to avoid hell. They must think God is kidding. They don't take him seriously. 40. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember? And I will remember the land. So if Israel obeys God, they can stay in their land in the first place. If they disobey, God is going to boot them out. That's what happened. But then God says if they repent, he'll bring them back. Today, Israel is still guilty of disobeying God in the most serious manner. They have rejected their Messiah, which was so often prophesied of in Old Testament. They rejected him when he arrived. They rejected the Son of God, and by doing that, they rejected God in the worst possible way. So they're guilty of rejecting the Son of God for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, they've been reaping the consequences of that horrible sin. But one day, the Bible says they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced, whom they have crucified, and they're going to repent. And when they do, God's going to do exactly what he promised in these verses. He's going to restore them to their land. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. And why does God forgive and restore them? Because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and because they repented. 43. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lies desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet, for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. So Israel has rejected their God in a big way by rejecting the Son of God, by saying, we have no king but Caesar. We don't have a God anymore. We worship Caesar. And that was true because they rejected their God when they rejected God's Son. But their unfaithfulness is not really the issue. I'll tell you what the issue is: God's faithfulness. He's not through with Israel. He'll never be through with them. His covenant with them is an everlasting covenant. If he said it once, he said it 1,000 times. And he's saying it here. 45, but I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God, and I am the Lord. These are the statutes and the judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Because of God's covenant with their fathers, he will return them to the land and restore all that he has promised to them. And it's going to happen. It's just not happening now because they haven't repented of killing the Son of God.